their lives and appreciate what they mean to you and to this church. So if you have your Bibles, I pray that you turn to 1 Kings chapter 12. 1 Kings chapter 12, and we'll begin reading in verse 1. As I want to bring a message here this morning, oh, how we need old people. Oh, how we need old people. Now, who do we say that are old? Well, I say to those that are old, if they're older than you. All right? That means they're old. If they're older than you. And so if anybody who's older than you today, then they will be considered to you old people, right? Let's stand this morning in honor of God's Word. And let's listen to what takes place right here in 1 Kings chapter 12. Verse 1, and Rehoboam went to Shechem, for all Israel were coming to Shechem to make him king. And it came to pass, when Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who was yet in Egypt, heard of it, for he was fled from the presence of King Solomon, and Jeroboam dwelt in Egypt, that they sent and called him, and Jeroboam and all the congregation of Israel came and spake unto Rehoboam, saying, thy father made our yoke grievous. Now therefore make thou the grievous service to thy father, and his heavy yoke which he put upon us lighter, and we will serve thee. And he said unto them, depart yet for 3 days, then come again to me. And the people departed. And the king Rehoboam consulted with the old men that stood before Solomon his father while he yet lived, and said, how do you advise that I may answer this people? And they spake unto him, saying, if thou wilt be a servant unto this people this day, and will serve them, and answer them, and speak good words to them, then they will be thy servant forever. But he forsook the counsel of the old men, which they had given him, and consulted with the young men that were grown up with him, and which stood before him. Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. We do thank you this morning for the reading of your word, and thank you for the word that was given from our brother Charles. And God, thank you for the singing that we heard, and thank you for the Sunday school that we've received. And we thank you today, God, that we can honor, Lord, these people that we love and we care for and appreciate. I ask you now, Lord, you give us the word this morning concerning the thoughts, dear God, of the elderly, the old men which called here, the old women. We pray, Father, that you'd have your way in our service. I pray you'd open our eyes to these old men and old women, God, that we might be obedient to thee and we might have respect toward thee, and God, that we might live accordingly. God, have your way now in our hearts and lives. Move, dear God, in this service. God, move my heart. Guard my lips. God, fill me with your Spirit. Anoint us with you today, that we may, God, come into thy presence and you may fill us with your presence. God, that we can say that we worship the Lord and we've been with God today. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. I want you to notice this morning. We didn't read the whole to 24, but we will eventually here today, but I hope you're not in no hurry. I'm not in no hurry. I got to be at work in the morning. That's it. But all day long, I've set aside, amen, for church and for being around God's people and have two messages and just to eat with you and to fellowship with you. So I pray that you'll kind of just sit back and maybe not be in such a hurry of got to do today or tomorrow or the next day, and just listen to what God had to say concerning this story. This is a very important story to Israel. It's a very important matter of fact. From this place on, Israel was never the same. It was never ever like it ever used to be. And so we find at this event that it was mildly important to the children of Israel. I want you to notice this morning the call of old people. The call of old people. Whenever Rehoboam came to a place where he was talked to there in that verse 4 and verse 5, the Bible says that he went to the old men. He went to the old people. He went to the old and began to get their advice on some things that he was asked about and about some things that he was inquired about. And so we find the call of old people. He did well with that. And boy, I can really admire King Rehoboam for doing that, that he would even consider in such a major decision and with the children of Israel, that he would even consider the thoughts, the mind, the advice, the counsel of old men or even old women here this morning. And so we find this morning you're not doing the wrong thing by going and asking old people about what they think, amen? About what they see or how they see it or what would they do or how do they feel about it, amen? I mean, that's something that you and I ought to put in our hearts and say, you know, I need to get advice and counsel to know what to do and what they would do, even though they're old. That would might be a help to me. We find the call of the old people was because Solomon the king had died. Now look there in chapter 11 and verse 43. And Solomon slept with his fathers and was buried in the city of David his father, and Rehoboam his son reigned in his stead. So because of Solomon's death, now Rehoboam has become king. Now being king, Rehoboam his son was going to be by the people of Israel put into that position as a king. And we see that there in verse 1 of chapter 12. And Rehoboam went to Shechem, for all Israel were come to Shechem to make him king. And so Solomon died. Rehoboam was going to be king. He's next in line. And the people of Israel were going to crown him king. They were going to make him king. It was going to become official. It's become exactly what it ought to become. And so everything so far is in line. Everything so far is in order. And then I noticed that they were going to go to Shechem to do that. But this was a very important to Israel. Israel wanted a king. Israel needed a king. Israel was going to get a king. And so this is an important part of who Israel was in a way of leadership, in the way of walking with God, in the way of nations being able not to overtake Israel, had a whole lot to do with its king, the economy of Israel, the very spiritual aspects of Israel. The king was the one who was the pivotal figure here, and so we find this was the most important time for Israel. Number two, it was a very influential time for Israel. If you know that King Solomon, he reigned 40 years. We see that in 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 42. It says, "In the time that Solomon reigned in Jerusalem over all Israel was 40 years. If you find that David, he reigned before King Solomon, 1 Kings chapter 2, verse 11 tells us that he reigned for 40 years. Now, can you imagine now that David reigned 40 years, King Solomon reigned 40 years, and now Rehoboam is going to come and he's going to be king. And so we find that the two predecessors of Rehoboam were established kings. They were well known. They were there for a long time. They have took care of business. They have done what they ought to do and be who they ought to be. Now we find Rehoboam is coming onto the scene. We find that it was a very impactful event of Israel. Because in 1 Kings chapter 11 and verse 29, there was something that God had to say to Rehoboam. Let's read it. Chapter 11, verse 29. The Bible says, "And it came to pass that at the time when Jeroboam went out to Jerusalem, that the prophets Ahijah, the Shilonite, found him in the way, and he had clad himself with a new garment, and they too were alone in the field. Ahijah caught the new garment that was on him and rent it in 12 pieces. He said to Jeroboam, 'Take thee 10 pieces, for thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, behold, I will rend the kingdom of the hand of Solomon, and will give 10 tribes to thee. But he shall have only one tribe for my servant David's sake, and Jerusalem's sake, the city which I have chosen out of all tribes of Israel. Because that they have forsaken me, and have worshipped Ashtaroth, the goddess of the Zidonians, and Shemesh, the god of Moabites, and Milcom, the God of the children of Ammon, and have not walked in my ways to do that which is right in my eyes, to keep my statutes and my judgments as David his father did. So what is going on? What is being told here? What is happening? Well, this is a prophecy. This is the word of the Lord. And he's telling Jeroboam, he said, now listen, what's going to happen now here in the near future is all the 12 tribes of Israel is going to be broken up. There's going to be 10 tribes. The 10 tribes are going to be, that's 10 pieces of his garment. They're going to be, Rehoboam's going to be of two tribes. I mean, Judah is going to be of two tribes, which is going to include, the Benjamins. And we find that in 1 Kings chapter 12 and verse 21. And we find that Jeroboam is going to be of the northern kingdom. And Rehoboam is going to be of the southern kingdom. And so the 12 tribes are going to be broken up. 10 tribes, northern, 2 tribes, southern. And so we find that that prophecy that was given to Jeroboam was going to come to fruition here real soon. We just find out that it came in chapter 12. Now, with this event that's important and very important, we find that we see that the history of Israel changed. Under King David, 12 tribes. Under Solomon, 12 tribes. 80 years. Rehoboam, Jeroboam, now 10 and 2. All of Israel has now changed or going to change. It will never be the same. It will never be like it was. It will never, ever. Matter of fact, the northern kingdom is completely wiped out eventually. The only kingdom that stayed afloat was the southern kingdom. The only reason that was because of Judah. And Judah is where the tribe that Jesus came from. And so we find that's prophetic. But really, all of Israel has done went down the drain and has become really nothing to all the world except God. And right here in chapter 12 is where it happened. All I'm trying, the point I'm trying to make today is the greatest decision, the greatest influential event that happened to Israel in all the history of Israel happened right here. And it was about asking the old people. Isn't that amazing? That of all the greatness and all the influence and all the impact that it's going to make in the children of Israel for its future, and to ask the advice was old people. I believe that's appropriate, don't you? I believe, friend, that's the right thing to do. I believe it ought to be that way. And I believe that that's what he should have done and he did do. Now we find that the congregation of Israel spoke to Rehoboam. Look in chapter 12 and look in verse 2 and verse 4. Verse 2 through 4. And it came to pass when Jeroboam the son of Nebat, who was yet in Egypt, heard of it, he was fled from the presence of King Solomon, and Jeroboam dwelt in Egypt. That they sent and called him, that means Israel, all of Israel, and Jeroboam and all the congregation of Israel came and spake to Rehoboam. Now Rehoboam was going to be the king. This is what they asked him in verse 4. Thy father, means Solomon, made our yoke grievous. Now therefore make thou the grievous service of the father and his heavy yoke, which he put upon us lighter, we will serve thee. Now here was the congregation talking to Rehoboam, who's going to be king. They asked him to do two things. He said, will you lower the taxation? Your father has taxed us. He has put a great burden upon us. He has given us very much difficulty in the way under Solomon's reign that we had to pay much. A lot of our monies, a lot of our goods have had to go toward him and toward the kingdom. Would you lighten that up a little bit? Just kind of not tax us as much. Secondly, they said, well, we had to really labor. Will you lighten up on the labor? Not only on the taxation, but man, will you lighten up a little bit on the labor? We're working hard. We're working to the ball. We're doing everything we can. All our strength and all our energy is given to what Solomon asks us to do. And so there was heavy taxation. There was hard labor. And they're asking Rehoboam, would you just lighten up a little bit on that? That's all we're asking for. And if you do that, man, we will serve you like never before. And so Rehoboam, he had that question posed to them. And then he calls on the old men there in verse 6. And the old men are those who are people who served in the past. Amen. And so, the Bible says in verse 6, the king Rehoboam consulted with the old men that stood before Solomon, his father, yet when he lived. So we're finding that these old men were old men who were walking with Solomon. They were back there in Solomon's day. They walked hand to hand with Solomon. They were shoulder to shoulder to Solomon. And so he was asking them, listen, these people here said Solomon taxed us and Solomon put labor upon us. And we're asking you, old men, we're asking you that you kind of give us what you think. And so we look at the credibility of the old people. The credibility of the old people was this. They were there. I mean, they seen what happened. They were there the whole time. You're not going to tell the old people something that they don't already know. You're not going to give them something that they're going to say, oh yeah, I didn't see that. No, they seen it all. They were there. They walked through that. They heard it. They were right where Solomon was. They seen it. They experienced it. They felt it. They knew it. They had their mind and their heart. And so to ask the old people about what Solomon did and the old people with Solomon was wise. And so we find the credibility of old people because they've been there, done that. Because they have experienced whatever you might be experiencing or you might ever go through, they've been through it. Right. And so it's not something this morning they got to guess on. It's fact. Yeah. It's true. Not only are they people who served in the past, but they are people who learned from the past. You see, they were back there with Solomon. And he said, "How?" In verse 6, how do you advise that we may answer this people? They want lower taxation. They want lower labor. And the reason they would ask the old people, as he did there, is because they learned. They learned during that period of time some things. They learned back by Solomon and how Solomon did things and the results of that. They learned that. Not only do they knew it, but they learned it. And so they have some wisdom. They've got some knowledge. They've got some clarity of things. They got a hold of it because, friend, they were there when Solomon did all those things. And so they knew it, but they learned it. And, friend, you can't ever underestimate the old learning. Amen? You can't ever just throw away what they learned. You can't ever just say, we're going to discount what the old has not only knows, but what they learned. And so we find they're asking them the question. Now there are people who knew from the past. And so we find that there's benefits. We find that there is much comfort. And there's much tonight, this morning, in the way of asking the old people about the past. About what took place, what happened, and you was there. And boy, it gives us great counsel, it gives us good leadership, it gives us a good mindset, it gives us a security, it gives us a foundation that you and I that are here today moving forward, that we can look back to those that were there and ask them. Amen! And so we find today, the old people were asked. Bible says in Job chapter 12, verse 12, with the ancient. Now the Bible uses the word ancient for old. So if anybody says to you, you're ancient. Listen, don't be offended over that. Say amen, glory to God, because that's how God identified me. So if anybody ever tells me I'm ancient, I'm going to shout it out. I'm going to say, thank you, Lord. Be ancient. Job 12, 12. With the ancient is wisdom, and the length of days is understanding. And so we find very clear, very plain that the Bible teaches for those that are ancient, those that are old, those that are aged, there's wisdom there. Wisdom. You might not like the wisdom. You might not agree with the wisdom. And you might not take the wisdom, but it does not lessen the fact that there's wisdom. Amen. The Bible says in Job 32:7, I said days should speak and multitude of years should teach wisdom. Let me read that again. I said days should speak and multitude of years should teach wisdom. And for what all he's saying is this, is those who have multitude of years have a lot of things to say. Those that have length of days have a lot of things that you and I ought to listen to. You and I ought to take what they have to say, friend, not with a grain of salt, but take it very seriously and take it very personally today that what they have to say, they have something to say. Amen? We say, the Bible says that they are in years should speak wisdom. The need of the age in the church. Turn your Bibles this morning. The need of the age, and Rehoboam needed the old men during this period of time. Turn your Bibles to Psalms 92 with me. Psalms 92, verse 13. Y'all might have read this verse before, or might have looked at it. It's a very popular verse. The Bible says in Psalms 92, verse 13, says, those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing to show that the Lord is upright. He is my rock and there is no unrighteousness in Him. The need of the aged in our church. The need of the aged in our life. The need of the age in our world. Friend, if you ever get to the place where you feel like that you don't need the old people, you came to the wrong place. If you ever come to the place where the old people are a nuisance unto thee, you need to get right with God. If you ever come to a place when the old people need to get out of the way, they need to be removed because it's holding up progress this morning, you need to ask God to forgive you of that thought this morning. I say to you, friend, that the age is what we need in our churches. The age is what we need in our lives. The age today is what we need in the world in which we live. The world's trying to kill them. The world's trying to euthanize them. The world's trying to get rid of the old. The world says the world, the old has no need and has no purpose. The old is no longer here to give any kind of product or any kind of benefit any longer. I say, I got news for you, dear friend, that the age this morning is what we really need and not the new.
That's right.
Amen. Thank you, brother. I appreciate that. Can I say here today that in Psalms 92, verse 13, 15, it's a place of importance. The Bible says, there those that are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. I see that to be important, don't you? I see that the place of influence. The Bible says there in verse 14, they shall still bring forth fruit in the old age. That's influence. We find that they still have an impact to make. Amen. This is where they flourish. The word flourish there means grow. Now let's read it in context. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall grow in the courts of our God. The Bible says they shall still bring forth fruit, and in old age they shall be fat and flourishing. Do you not know this morning that every old person in this room is still growing? They're still flourishing, amen. They're not done yet. There's more for God to do with them, amen. It might be 1 hour. It may be 1 more week. It may be 1 year. It may be 1 decade. It may be 1 century. But just know this, friend. Just because they're old don't mean they're not growing. They're not flourishing. Just because they're old don't mean God's done with them and God's through with them. Just because they're old don't mean, friend, that they have no benefit and no use, friend. Oh, God said they're old, but they're flourishing. Amen. Not only do we find the old because we have a need for them because they're growing. But we notice they're not only flourishing, but they're fruitful. The verse 14 says, shall bring forth fruit. There shall be an increase. And they're fruitful. And they're fruitful around us. And they're fruitful around our family. They're fruitful around our homes. They're fruitful in our world. They're fruitful at work. They're fruitful at the way of the places that we go. But fruitfulness, amen. The Bible says the old people, they still have fruit to give, amen. They still have producing to give. They still have benefit to offer us. They still have something that you and I can use and become better off for it, amen. Hallelujah for our old people, dear God. They flourish and they're fruitful. But the Bible says they're fat. Now, I'm not talking about their weight. That word fat means rich. You say, well, most of the old people I know are fat. Well, you wait till you get there, young skinny runt. We find here this morning, the word fat in verse 14, they shall bring forth fruit in an old age, and they shall be fat. That means rich. And friend, they are rich. They are rich. They've been planted in the house of God. I'm talking about Christian old people. I'm talking about Christian old people that's been planted in the house of God. Friend, not only do they flourish, and that means increase and grow. Oh, but friend, they are fruitful, friend. That means they multiply and they give off and they give more. But then they're fat, they're rich. They're rich, friend, and they're rich in not only what they give. Do you know that today that if all the old people, say 65 years or older, would leave the church today, that the majority of churches would fold up? Do you know that? Do you know that most of the people 65 or older would decide, I'm not going to church anymore, that there'd be more emptiness in the church than ever before? I'm just saying, friend, that there is a fatness about the old people today, the richness about the old people. Not only is their presence what they give, what they do, but what they give, what they offer. Not only what they know from the past and all the days gone by, oh, but what they can know today and how they keep our future going, how they keep our progress on. Without the old people, friend, us young people, I'm only 62. I'm still young.
Amen.
Us young people, friend, we would be in real trouble this morning if it wasn't for those that are fat and flourishing and fruitful. That's the old. That's the old. Thank you, Lord. We need the aged. Just like Rehoboam needed the aged, we need the aged. We find, lastly, in verse 14, that these are where they faithful. To show that the Lord is upright, that He is of my rock and there is no unrighteousness in Him. They're just faithful to the Lord. They're faithful to God. Friend, I tell you something, friend. Whenever all is said and done and when the dust is settled, it's going to be the old people staying. When it's all said and done, it's the old people not getting frustrated, not getting aggravated, not losing their mind and living on emotions and living on feelings. But they're going to be stable. They're going to be secure. They're going to be foundational. And friend, you can always count on them, friend. That listen, when things go awry, when things are thrown up in the air, and it seems like the whole world is crashing in, just find some old person and just sit by them a little bit. You'll find faithfulness there. You'll find they say, listen, I know the world's coming down. I know the world is going crazy. I know everything seems to be falling to pieces. But I've had faith in my God for 30 years. I've had faith in my God for 50 years. I have faith in my God for 60 years. He's never let me down. He's never let me go. He's never forsaken me. He's never said anything to me that ever turned me away. He's always been a faithful God. He's my rock. That's the aged.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Well, I tell you, you ought to get close to them. You ought to find somebody in this church today that's an aged. And you might want to start listening and start learning. And you might want to start getting some things from them and asking them questions. And finding out, how did you live for God for all these years? How did you keep on going through all your troubles and all your trials and all the things that hurt your heart and broke your heart? What made you keep going for God? What made you be faithful unto the Lord? Only the aged can give you that answer. Amen. Hallelujah. We need not the age in the church, but we need the age in this generation. If you have your Bibles, turn to Psalm 71. Again, it's another familiar passage. Psalm 71. I'm talking about as Rehoboam needed to ask the old men, you and I today, we need to ask the old men and women as well. So we need the age in the church. We need the age in the generation. 71 verse 18 says, now also when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not until I have showed thy strength unto this generation and thy power to everyone that is to come. What do they want to do? Oh, they want to show God's power. That's what they want to do. Amen? They want to show that God is powerful. They want to show that God is of an authority. They want to show that God is above and beyond anything and everything. He's a mighty God. He's the Almighty God. That's what they want to show. Who wants to show that today? The aged wants to show that. They want to show forth God's power. They want to show forth, secondly today, God's victory. God's victory. The Bible says in that verse 8, show thy strength, that's His power, unto all generation, and thy power, that means His victory. They want to show the victory, amen? They want to show how God is victorious, that God has overcome, that God is the one that's full of success, that God is the one that's overcome. It's God, not me. It's not me, it's God, amen? I have victory in Jesus today. I've got victory in God today. That's what they want to show. Old people, men and women, they want to show God's power. They want to show God's victory. And thirdly, they want to show God's grace.
Right.
So that verse is saying, they want to show the strength to this generation. They want to show the power. And then it goes on and says in verse 10, to everyone that is to come, grace. They're looking as aged and old people, men and women. They're looking to show the world, the generation of God's grace for those that come. God's grace. You say, what is all that about, brother? Well, I'll tell you what it's about to the aged this morning. It's their heart. It's in their heart. That before they die, before they're laid to rest, before they pass off the scene, before they're no longer here, it's in the heart of every aged saint of God to be able to show this generation that God is the most powerful and victorious and the most graceful God that you can ever experience in this lifetime. That's in their heart.
Amen.
That's in their heart. They want to show their grandchildren. They want to show their great-grandchildren. They want to show anyone and everyone that they can find. They can come in. What's the heart? The heart for this generation is that they might know their God that's most powerful, most glorious, and the God today that has victory. Amen? That's the heart of every old person this morning that knows God. Number two, that's not in their heart, but that's a desire of the age. Look how the Scripture's written. Now also when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not until... Don't let me die. Don't let me go to my grave. Until, O God, my desire of my heart as the age is that so everybody of this generation will know the power of God, the grace of God, the victory of God. Oh, that's the desire of the saint of God who's old today. Neither heart and in their desire. Oh, but it's the purpose of them. He says, now also when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not. You can hear that plea. You can hear that desire. You can hear that heart. You can hear within the psalmist is saying to God, God, I know You got my days numbered. I know that someday I'm dying. I know that my days could be soon. And I know that You giveth and You taketh away. And blessed be the name of the Lord. Oh, but can I tell you my heart and my desire? And can I tell you my purpose of life in the old age that I am today? Is that I want all generations to know the power of God, the victory of God, and the grace of God. Hallelujah for the old. Amen.
Amen.
Hey, thank you. Thank you Blessed be your name. Oh God, that you'd make them gray-headed, that you'd make them old. But the desire of their heart, the will of their heart, the very purpose of their heart is to let this generation know. I tell you, friend, us young people are to learn from that. Why does it take till you get old to do something like that? God help. The old man was giving good counsel. If you go back to our text in 1 Kings. The old man was giving good counsel because they wanted God to be honored. See, the counsel that they were given unto Rehoboam was the counsel in verse 7 was to bring God glory. The counsel that they were trying to give him was going to give God honor. It was going to give God praise. It was going to bring glorifying to God. That was the kind of counsel that they were giving here. We'll read it in just a moment. But I just want you to know that the call of old people, that's what Rehoboam did. He called them out. And well, we can applaud Rehoboam for that. But then I'm going to show you secondly, not only the call of old people, but I want you to notice the counsel of old people. They counseled them in three ways. Again, remember the motive of the counsel. Remember the motive of old men. The motive of old people is, Lord, I know I'm gray-headed and I know I'm old. But to this generation, I want to show that your power, your grace, and your victory. It was all about giving God honor and giving God praise and giving God glory. Now, with this answer they gave in verse 7, it brings that out so plainly. It says, and they spake unto him, saying, if thou wilt be a servant unto this people this day, and will serve them, and answer them, and speak good words to them, that they will be thy servants forever. Now, the result of this counsel from the old man that walked with Solomon is saying that if you want this people, if you want the children of Israel to serve you forever, that's a long time, isn't it? I mean, for David it was 40 years, for Solomon it was 40 years, and what they're saying unto them is this, is David 40 years, Solomon 40 years, and Rehoboam, if you want 40 years, this is what you need to do. This is how you get these people to serve you forever. Now, I would say, friend, that ought to be, or that should have been, the very, very motive or intent of Rehoboam's heart is that these people would serve him forever. So we find this morning three things in which they gave to them. Number one, they said, Rehoboam, to be a servant. Rehoboam, you have to be a servant. You have to be a servant. Galatians chapter 5, verse 13, by the way, I preached on Wednesday night. It says, by love, serve one another. That's a Bible principle, isn't it? It's a Bible verse. Today, if you're going to want people to serve you, you have to serve them. Amen? And so what these old people were saying, listen, Rehoboam, if you want them to serve you, you got to serve them. Serve them, Rehoboam. Serve them. Serve them. Serve them. Be a slave to them. Be a bond slave to them. Be yielded to them. Be submissive to them. Be in subject to them. Amen? That's what it means to be a servant today. A servant of the Lord. We find this morning that's what the old men said. To be a servant unto the Lord. To serve them. That's correct counsel, isn't it? Would anybody in this room find that would be flawed? That anybody in this room would say, well, you know, I just don't think that's good counsel. I just don't think that's godly counsel. I don't think that's biblical counsel. Well, it is. There's scriptures after scriptures after scriptures about serving one another. We see number two, that the counsel was not only to be a servant, but the counsel was to be responsive. To be responsive. In other words, he says to men, and will serve them and answer them. There's something about when you get spoken to that you respond. There's no greater frustration in life today and then when a parent says to a child, what are you doing? And the child don't respond. Amen.
Right.
It's evenly disturbing when a spouse is talking to a spouse and asking a spouse a question and they just ignore it. That's a problem. That's how the wicked, that's how the lost, that's how they behave.
Right.
It's also equally disturbing and problematic today was when at work, when you ask a boss, hey boss, how do I do this? And they just ignore the question.
Right.
And you sit there in your desk going, all I'm trying to say is this, is these godly men said to Rehoboam, if you want them to serve you forever, you've got to respond. You know, there's nothing that we could say that lacks with old people is their response. Because they're going to respond to you. 95% of the time, you don't like their response. And 95% of the time, you're going to go against their response. And 95% of the time, you're going to just say, well, she's old and she's not in the 2 and 24. That she's talking from back yonder. She's talking from back there. And many a times the response is not what you want. But what the old man knew is this. Is listen, Rehoboam, when you talk to the children of Israel, when the children of Israel talk to you, whatever they ask, whatever they do, whatever they say, respond to them.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's an appropriate way of living, isn't it?
Right.
The Bible says to have an answer for everyone who asked. And so the Christian way of living is responding. I tell you what burns me up is whenever I text somebody, they don't text me back. When I email somebody, they don't email me back. Or when I call somebody and they don't answer and they don't call me back. Oh, man. Oh, man. How do you feel about that? You say, well, I'm the one who's not doing it. You know, if I don't want to talk to somebody, I just won't respond. Heathen. Do you think you have the right and you have the privilege that when somebody reaches out to you, that somebody texts you, calls you, emails you, whatever way of contacting you, and you think you have the right and privilege to just don't do anything? How arrogant you are. I mean, lost people live like that. Surely God's people don't behave that way. He said, brother, it's just a text. No, it's a character. That's what it is. Well, you know, it's just a phone call. I don't want to talk right now. Well, you don't have that privilege to not want to. You say, well, listen, I'm in control of my life. That's the problem. It's all about you. Just it was all about Rehoboam. And we find here, thirdly, the third thing that was counsel was not only be a servant, be responsive, but the third thing was be kind. They said in verse 7, speak good words to them. Be kind. Be kind. The Bible says in Ephesians 4:32, be ye kind one to another. It's another biblical principle. Be kind. Be kind. You say, I don't know why nobody likes me because you're ugly. So after I talk to somebody, they get smart with me because you get smart with them. See, where a man soweth, he shall also reap. If you want a kiss from your husband, then kiss your husband. If you want your husband to be kind to you, be kind to him. You can't expect your wife to be kind to you if you're not kind to her.
Right.
That principle don't work today. Friend, I'm just saying this morning, be kind to your children. Be kind to your spouse. Be kind to your church members. Be kind to the people on the road. Be kind to the poor. Be kind to the rich. Be kind. Be kind. Be kind. That's a principle of the Scripture today. And the old men were saying, be kind, Rehoboam. Be kind. You know, listen, we catch a whole lot more with honey, don't we, than with pickle juice. I mean, I'm just saying this morning, it don't cost you anything to be kind. You don't have to do anything extra today. You ain't got to do anything at all, go beyond and beyond, to be kind. What's wrong with us today? We can't be kind. Why can't we be kind anymore? Oh, the world's done got us all flustered. I mean, it's something like this. You're at work and you get aggravated at work, you get frustrated at work, and you come home and your wife says, "How you doing?" "I don't want to talk to nobody today. All I do is want to sit in my chair." Man, grow up, man. Somebody needs to hit you with a 2x4. To let you know that because you had a bad day at work, friend, that don't mean you bring home the bad day at home. Get a grip. All I'm saying today is you and I have to come to the place where all the other things on the outside of our lives cannot control us and cannot make us to be that ugly beast of unkindness. If we're Christian today, we've got to be kind in every matter.
Yes.
Every time. Every situation. Every circumstance. Kind. You say, can you tell somebody off kindly? Yeah. You sure can. Can you take a stand kindly without yelling and screaming and calling everybody idiots? Yeah. I mean, can you lead without force or lies? Just through kindness? I don't know about you, but just in human nature today, I like kind people. Do you? I kind of attract to those that are kind. Now, the ones I really like are the kind that are straight. I mean, you just know exactly what they're thinking. You know exactly where they're headed. You know exactly what they're doing, but they're kind. The Bible teaches today what these old people did, what these old men did, is they told them in the way of counsel, he said, number one, be a servant. Number two, well, that's good advice already. Number two, be responsive. Number three, be kind. So we find in this great importance of Israel and where they are, we find that Rehoboam, decided, one of the saddest verses in the Bible is in verse 8, but he forsook the counsel of the old man. Let me hurry. I got 5 minutes, presumably. Number three, not only the call of old people, the counsel of old people, but the consequences without old people. The consequences without old people. We find in verses 8 through 15, let's read it with me if you don't mind. But he forsook the counsel of the old man, which they had given him, and consulted with the young men that were grown up with him, and which stood before him. And he said unto them, what counsel give ye that we may answer this people who have spoken to me, saying, make the yoke which thy father did put upon us lighter? The younger men that were grown up with him spake unto him, saying, thus shalt thou speak unto this people that spake unto thee, saying, thy father made our yoke heavy, but make thou it lighter unto us. Thus shalt thou say unto them, my little finger shall be thicker than my father's loins. And now, whereas my father did lay ye with heavy yoke, I will add to your yoke. My father hath chastened us with whips, but I will chastise you with scorpions. How you like that advice? That was the younger ones. The younger ones, the decision of the young, as we see, let's finish reading verse 14. In verse 12. So Jeroboam and all the people came to Rehoboam the third day, as the king had appointed, saying, come to me again the third day. And the king answered the people roughly and forsook the old man's counsel that they gave him, and spake to them after their counsel of the young man, saying, my father made your yoke heavy. I will add to your yoke. My father also chastised you with whips. I will chastise you with scorpions. Wherefore the king hearkened not unto the people, for the cause was from the Lord, that he might perform his saying which the Lord spake by Ahijah the Shilonite unto Jeroboam the son of Nebat. We read that a while ago. It's chapter 11, verse 29. We find here today that the decision of the young. What was the decisions of the young? If you look at the young's decisions, I'm not saying every young in this room is this, and I'm not saying every old in this room is that. But I am saying, according to the Scripture, that this is what the old gave. And a lot of times, this is the new counsel. When I say new, I'm talking about the young. Let's say young. This is the young council, the decisions. Number one, the counsel in which they gave Rehoboam was selfish. It was about them. It was about what they wanted. It's about letting them people know that Rehoboam is in charge. And that while he's in charge, he's going to do whatever he wants to do. Matter of fact, he's going to do more than Solomon did. That's all selfish. It's all gratification. It's all about how I can be better about this, how I can show myself to be mightier, and how I can be overruling, and how I can be the one who's the one that I get the praise and I get the glory for it. And that's what they're saying to Rehoboam. Rehoboam, make it harder. So it's selfish. Number two, it was proudful. It's proudful. These people here coming to them say, make it lighter. They say, no, we'll make it heavier. They're going to say, hey, listen, Solomon did that. Well, what Solomon did, we're just going to do it more. Proudful. Number three, it was just wrong. Nothing that they gave counsel was scriptural. Nothing they gave counsel was profitable. What they gave was not sustaining. That exactly is not going to happen. Here you got these people who are begging Rehoboam, please make it light, taxation, the labor. And they said, no, we're going to make it worse. Is that sustaining? Is there profit in that? It's just wrong. So the decisions that was given by the young to Rehoboam was selfish and proudful and just wrong. Number two, because they didn't take the counsel of the old men, you now find the division of the people. We see in verse 16. So when all Israel saw that the king hearkened not unto them, the people answered the king, saying, what portion have we in David? Neither have we inheritance in the son of Jesse to our tents. O Israel, now see to thy own house, David. So Israel departed unto their tents. But as for the children of Israel, which dwelt in the cities of Judah, Rehoboam reigned over them. The king Rehoboam sent Adriam, who was over the tribute, and all Israel stoned him with stones that he died. Therefore, King Rehoboam made speed to get him up to his chariot to flee to Jerusalem. So Israel rebelled against the house of David unto this day. So now we find because of Rehoboam not taking the counsel of the old men, but taking the counsel of the young men, now Israel is divided. Not only is Israel divided, but the people are divided. But not only the people are divided, but the kingdom is now divided. 10 tribes, 2 tribes, divided from the northern to the southern. Because of Rehoboam not wanting to take the godly advice, the scriptural advice, the advice that made sense, the advice that brought forth in time that when they were with Solomon, and it was a truth that was given, not from feelings, not because of emotions, not because of something that they would want in a personal state, as well as a young advice was proudful, selfish, and just wrong. But Rehoboam said, we're going to take up the young men. And he did, and he lost the kingdom. Not only did he lose the kingdom, but he lost Israel. And he lost Israel, and now we find today, as we're looking today, the Bible says in verse 19, so Israel rebelled against the house of David unto this day. Do you know that the Jews, the Israel, is a mess? Do you know that? They're scattered everywhere. Where are the 12 tribes of Israel? Where is their temple? Where is their sacrifice? Where are they at? Well, I'll tell you where they're at. They're down there in the little part of Israel surrounded with a bunch of enemies. And man, they're having it a time today. And they think this is a lot. They think this is going to be just a finish. They think that whenever they go over here and get rid of Hamas, by the way, they won't ever do that. But they're going to try to get rid of Hamas there in Gaza. And they're going to go to Rafael and do all these things. And then they're going to, when they get done with that, what are they going to do next? There's no answer. Next thing you know, you're going to have Hezbollah coming out of Lebanon. Next you have the Houthis coming out of Yemen. Next thing you know, you're going to have Jordan. Next thing you know, Saudi Arabia. Next thing you know, you're going to have that whole region. Already, the United States of America, Biden, is saying, coming up against Israel. We're finding Israel to come into a place of life where they're going to try to be exterminated. Amen? To be taken out, to take it away. No longer Israel. Push them out into the Mediterranean Sea. We don't want no Jew no more. Now we know according to Scripture that will never happen.
That's right.
But that don't mean there will be a lot of bloodshed. That don't mean there will be a lot of trouble for Israel. Where did all that start? Chapter 12. Not listening to the old man. You know, if we can go back today to the troubles of our life, we can go back today and the one we married. We can go back today and the career we got. We can go back today and where we live. We can go back today and the education we have. We can go back today in which the things that our past has been so embarrassing, been so shameful. If we would have just listened to the old parents.
Right. That's right.
If we would have just listened to the old grandma and grandpa. If we would have just listened to the old counselor. If we would have just listened. Oh, if we can go back. There's anybody in this room that say, if I go back, I'd do some things different. And we can go back and echo the words of them old people. Yeah. They were right after all. Well, Rehoboam found that he has damage to the kingdom. Verses 21 through 24. He's now a powerless king. Verse 21, he has a plan. He said, I'm going to bring 144,000 chosen men. They are warriors. They're ready to fight. And I'm going to bring all the other kingdoms that are not with us, and we're going to bring them together. That was his plan. Talking about a powerless king. Number two, the powerless king not only had a plan, but the powerless king had a problem. And his problem was God. Look at verse 22. But the word of the Lord came unto Shemaiah the son of God saying, or the man of God saying, speak unto Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, the king of Judah, unto all the house of Judah and Benjamin, and to the remnant of the house, saying, thus saith the Lord, you shall not go up, nor fight against your brethren and the children of Israel. Return every man to his house, for this thing is from me. They hearkened therefore to the word of the Lord, and returned to depart according to the word of the Lord. That plan that Rehoboam had didn't go through. You know why that plan didn't go through? Because Rehoboam thought he was going and bulldog and bully everybody and get back to that kingdom that he lost because he didn't listen to the old. God said, oh no, that's lost forever. You go back home. You put your swords up, put your artillery up. This is the way it's going to be. This is how it is. I'm God. I said that. Sure enough, friend, we can all go back and say, oh, we need old people, don't we? We find damage and destruction, and we find trouble when we dismiss these people that we just call old. Your mama, your daddy, your grandma, your grandpa, your preacher, your Sunday school teacher, your friend, your aunt, your uncle, everyone that's older than you, stop ignoring them. Stop putting them to the side. Begin to open up your ears. Begin to open up your heart and listen to what the old may have to say. We need old people. Let's stand to our feet. Our heads are bowed. Our eyes are closed. God will win every time. Oh, how we need old men and women of God today. Oh, how we need them. You need to come pray this morning, maybe because you just need to be saved. Maybe because you treated your mom and dad who are older than you like trash. You've dishonored them. You spoke ugly to them. You cussed at them. You threatened them. Won't you come to the altar this morning and just get that right? How about us this morning? We have not listened and we not have taken advantage of what we have before us is the way of the old people. And we're just going to ask God to help us to listen more. Maybe to be more attentive to what they have to say. Maybe that I need to come apologize. Maybe I need to say I'm sorry to some old person in your life that you mistreated or that you have been ugly to. How about you this morning? Where are you at with the Lord? What is God saying to you? What's the next move for you? What is it? What is it? I can tell you this. You don't listen to the old people, you're going to find damage and destruction in your life. I can promise you that. How about you today? You sing, Brother George. How about you today? Oh, God, heal. We need old people. We really do. We need them. Rehoboam needed them. He decided he needed the young people. Yes, amen. There's a lot of churches today, a lot of pastors, they make this statement. They say, we need more young people in our church. We need more young people. And they do everything in the world to bring young people. They knock off their standards. They lower their convictions. They bring in their music. They allow them to make the house of God a place of social gathering, a place of meet and greet. They do a lot of things to take the worship out of church in order to bring in young people. But you know what my philosophy is? I want old people. You know why I want old people? Because when they get gray-headed and they get old, their only desire, heart, and all they want for this generation is that they would tell them about the power, the glory, and tell them about the very grace of God. Amen. That's what we need.
Yes.
That's what we need. We need a house full. Because their hearts are for the young people. The young people's hearts are for who? Themselves. The old people's hearts are for who? The young people. Man, we got to think about this right. We can't lose sight. Thank God for the older people. You may be seated. I got one more thing to do. You hungry yet? No, Brother Keith is about to go get that, all that beef and
knows perfectly that Till death him love.